Lord, I pray you'd help me to do this video well. This morning at our morning service, I preached from John chapter 1, verses 14 through 18. And I'll read a couple of those verses right now. John 1. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then I want to jump to verse 16, and of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. And I want to talk right now about Christ's fullness. In contrast to Romans 1, and tonight I will preach on Romans 1, 18 through 32, which basically describes people who have rejected the study of God, the notion of God, atheists, people who don't want to think about God, and it says in Romans 1 verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And preaching these both on the same day and studying them during the week, I noticed the stark contrast to what we have in Christ, which is fullness. And in Colossians 2, it talks about the teaching about God and Christ. And it says of the Father, Colossians 2, 2 in Christ, the end of Christ, in whom, verse 3, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There we are told that in God and in Christ, not in atheism, not in studying frogs, but in God and Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, our world would argue with that now, but they proclaim themselves to be wise, but they have, according to Romans, Romans 1, become fools, and the atheist is called a fool in Scripture more than one place. And we see this stark contrast here in this verse where this word for futile means, in the Greek it means empty-headed. It means to be, you know, to be nothingless or have no meaning. It's the opposite of the fullness that we have in Christ. And we see this in our world today. We've gone from evolution, which is already, I believe, empty-headed thinking. It involves thinking that things can pop into existence out of nothing, or that monkeys become human beings. All these things that are not observed by science, it's all theory. And it's theory. Why is that? Not because science has proved this, because it's definitely not science, but because people want to believe these things rather than God. And God has given them up to a debased mind. And evolution has become not just evolution. Science is now saying that men can have babies, or there's more than 100 different genders, and that we can choose what gender we are, not male and female. And it's being put into our laws, and it's called science in opposition to religion. But it's interesting. I want to quote to close here. I'm not going to be long, but I want to quote Sir Isaac Newton, who was definitely a scientist. He says, "He who thinks half-heartedly will not believe in God, but he who really thinks has to believe in God." Sir Isaac Newton. You can't really think without believing God, believing in God. when you look at Romans 1, it talks about the creation. And the creation is an argument for God, not against God. The things that we see point to a creator who makes a marvelous creation. And that's where science starts. Not in atheism. Let's pray. Father, I pray whoever might see this, I pray that they might also look at my sermons for that I'm preaching this day. They'll probably be on later as well as this. But on John 1, verses 1, 14 through 18, and also on Romans 1, verses 18 through 32, and part of that, Romans 1:29, talks about futile thinking, empty-headed thinking. When you leave God out, that's empty-headed thinking, because all the fullness of wisdom and knowledge are in God and in Christ.